What was it? Oh. My phone.
Oh, okay. I didn't even see it.
I hope every one of you got a nap in this evening.
I didn't.
I didn't either, so. Ooh, my mouth is dry this evening. And I ain't had no fish.
No what?
And I ain't had no fish.
No fish? Said his mouth was dry. Oh!
Yeah. No, when I eat fish, my mouth, whoo, but it's dry to see, and my tongue won't stick to the roof of my mouth. Oh, me. Well, I want to turn to the book of Isaiah this evening for a little while, and I just want to, some things that I saw him in chapter 6 in the book of Isaiah, that I believe we done kind of slacked up on. And not only slacked up on, but we also have just, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord. And we need to let the people know and whom side that we're on. And we need to remember that we are always on the Lord's side. I know sometimes we may not really feel like it. And we may not even feel like praising the Lord, but we need to do it anyhow. Because if we don't feel like it, that means the devil's on our back. So we need to go on and do it anyhow, and then the devil will leave us. And the devil will leave us alone. But I know I said in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, but now it's in chapter 12. Where I want to go to this morning, I mean this evening, for a little while. And but, well, let's go back to chapter 6, and I'm going to read two verses there, and then I'm going to go to chapter 12. But it says right here, and it's talking about the where Isaiah, he needs his vision restored. And what he's talking about, he needs his spiritual vision restored. And I think we do too. We need our spiritual vision restored today. Because if we don't watch it, we will just be we'll get so caught up in the things of this world and the fast pace that we're doing that we will just forget. Sometimes we'll just forget about God, but we think we're serving God. But we need to always be thankful, and we need to remember that we need to always keep it. Clear vision and what God wants us to do. Now I know what the Word of God says in the book of Proverbs says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. And how true it is. And where the people in the church, if they don't have no vision, the church will perish. The congregation will perish. The community will perish also. So we need to remember that we need to keep that spiritual vision alive, and we need to keep the spiritual eyes alive, the spiritual ears alive. We need to keep everything about us, spiritually speaking, alive. And how do we do that? We do it by uplifting the name of Jesus. We do that by doing what Jesus has asked us to do. And he don't have to ask me to go out here and to visit somebody. I know that that's one of the commandments he has in his Bible. Now, it's a whole lot of things in the Bible that he commands for us to do. we don't have to pray about it. We don't have to pray about being faithful to God. We don't have to pray and say, well, God, help me to be faithful to the house of God. It's in the Word. We know that we must be faithful to the house of God. We must be faithful in our study. We must be faithful in prayer and everything else. We must be faithful in our giving. We must be faithful in the work that we do for the Lord. Now, anytime we go out here and we do something, go to someone's house and visit them and just uplift them and let them know that we're there, that we care for them. We don't have to go in there and start preaching to them and all of that, but just let them know that we want to be a friend to them. That's uplifting to the Lord, and we're uplifting His name. But it says over here in chapter 6 in the book of Isaiah, it says in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Full of His glory. Verse 4 says, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. You know, we're supposed to come to church, and we're supposed to be around God's people, and we're supposed to uplift the name of the Lord any way we can, to where we would move the heart of the other people. I need to And I do. I thank the Lord this morning. I thank Him for this morning. I thank Him for this evening. I thank Him for the touch that He's touched my legs with. Because there's no way under the sun, if He hadn't touched them, that I could have went out dinner and walked this morning without that cane. It won't no way. I know that. And I thank Him for that. And I love Him for that. And I'm not going to take it for granted no more. Sometimes in the past, I believe I took things for granted. And that's the reason I was in the shape that I was in, that I got myself into. And He will do that. He will get our attention. He will get our attention in the way that He knows He'll get our attention. Now, He could just put me on my back for about a week or 2 weeks. Then I could have got up, started back walking, fine, not having no problems. But would that really help me? It would have helped me right after that. But the thing about it is, 2 or 3 weeks would go by, I'd feel so fine, I'd be doing this and that and everything, and I would forget about what He had done. But I will not forget about what He's done now. I know He has touched. I have felt a touch. I don't know what it is or nothing. But I know something has touched my legs, has touched my muscles in my legs. And I'm just as confident today that when I go to Duke that they're going to come back and they're going to say, we don't even know why you're down here. I believe that God can touch today. I believe God can touch an individual's body with His divine touch. But you have to trust and you have to believe that He can do it. And I can do it. I can do what he's asked me to do. I can go out here. And yes, and I've been, it's one thing I've been wanting to do a long time now. I've been wanting to be able to go out and visit. Well, me and I've talked to Brother Bill this morning. And I'm going to try to, me and him, we're going to try to go out this week and we'll try to do some visiting. Hey, just because my legs are feeling better don't mean I'm going to just, well, I'm feeling better. I can do some walking now. I'm going to stay at home and kind of rest, continue to rest enough. No. The Lord didn't touch me just to go home and sit down and do nothing, just get in my study and read and study and pray. No, God, he touched me, I believe, for me to go out there and win souls for him. And that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Because he has touched me. That was the vision that I believe that he's touched me with. And we need to have all that same kind of vision. But over here in chapter 12, we see right here, it says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away. And thou comforteth me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." Not only is he my salvation, he has become my salvation. Verse 3 says, "Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the well of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out." And what? Mourn? Nope. Cry out and shout. I believe that God's people is just they have used the word reverend, and they've used it in an opposite way compared to what the Bible really speaks of being reverend. Being reverend is to allow him to know in whom you're serving and who you're worshiping. I'm not here to worship for you. I'm not here to worship for the people outside. I'm not here to worship because of me. I'm here to worship him and him only. But it says, "Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Now, Father, we pray, Lord, right now, that God, that you may touch the people this evening, Father. We pray, Lord Jesus, you'll continue to fill my heart with your love and your joy. And Father, I pray, God, that you'll give me the messages for the hour, Lord. And Father, that the people, that we can all leave tonight saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. And it was good to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Cry out and shout. We can go back to the book of Psalms and you can read all through the book of Psalms. And it's speaking about shouting. It's speaking about what David shouted out. We know that David sinned against God. But we also know that David come back to God, and God, he said, restore. He didn't say, give me back my salvation. He says, restore the joy of thy salvation to me. See, David was just like us today. We can get so far in sin that we don't enjoy anything anymore. We don't enjoy going out here visiting no more. If we allow the devil to get a hold of us that bad, to where we will not go out here and we will not visit, we will not be concerned enough for people. Hey, there was people concerned about me. They was concerned about me when I was dying and going to hell. Did they come to my home and visited me and they give me the truth? They give me the gospel. I didn't know any of them per se. One of the individuals that would come with them, I mean, yeah, they done electrical work on my house, but I didn't know him. I just knew he done some electrical work on the house when they was building it. But he said he cried out. Cried out. That's what God, that's what the Lord was telling Isaiah. Isaiah, you need to cry out. You need to cry out to where God, where Jehovah, God in heaven could hear you. Cry out to him and he will restore back unto you all of your joy also. Because I believe that Isaiah was looking and wanting that joy back, just like David. David is not the only one that lost his joy. David is not the only one that went back to God and asked God to restore him, restore his joy. Hey, we've done the same thing. And that's what, this is 713 before Christ. The year 713 before Christ was even born. And here it is right here. We in 2016 AD, which is after Christ was born. Hey, and we are still the same people as they were. Back then, they just saw the face of God. They saw the face of the Lord. Just like Peter. Peter walked with the Lord. He even prayed with the Lord. And he also denied the Lord. He denied the Lord toward the other people that he was talking to and he was walking with at times. We'd have done the same thing. We are no better than they were. I've done the same identical same thing as Peter done. Peter was arrogant. He was a big mouth. Hey. And when he got away from the Lord, somebody else wanted Peter to do something else. And Peter said, sure, I'll do it. I'll help you. He said, no, wait a minute now. Before you go and do it, he says, won't that you with the man that they call the Messiah the other day? Won't you walk in with him and talking to him? Peter said, well, who are you talking about? Talking about the Lord. No, that wasn't me. That was somebody else that maybe looked like me. We do the same thing today. We got a whole lot of twins. We got a whole lot of triplets. And we got a whole lot of quadruplets and everything out here. Because there's other people that's saying the same thing. We don't ever say it. They come to us. What does it? No, I didn't say it. No, not me. I did not say anything at all about that. But the Lord God Almighty, he's there in heaven. And he just started weeping because I just lied. He started weeping because I just lied. He started weeping because even with Peter, because Peter lied. and said he didn't know anything about him. I know about him. I know of him. He walks with me and he talks with me every day. And I'm like them footprints that you see that's on the in the Sea of Galilee and everything on the outside where you don't see but one set of footprints. But then you go home and you read all about it. You may not see but one set of footprints, but he's toting me. He's toting me. Why? Because he loves me. He loves me. We need to cry out. We need to shout. You know, did you realize that that's one thing that I believe today that is lacking more than anything? Is in the house of God where people will not even raise the hand and say amen, even if a preacher is preaching something that's right. They won't do it. Hey, why not? I'm going to ask you something. Have you ever been in a service and don't tell me no fib now, because God's listening and God's looking. Have you ever been in a service in your lifetime since you've been saved where the Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son, they was in here so... it was so thick like you could feel like that you could cut it with a butter knife. And the preacher, the evangelist would be up here preaching, or Brother Poovy would be up here preaching. And the Holy Spirit would get a hold of him. And when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him, then a good old shout goes out. A lady back in the back was, amen, praise the Lord. A gentleman over here, he'd get up and he'd start walking. He'd walk around the pews a little while. What's wrong with that? There's not a thing in the world wrong with it. Not a thing in the world. You know what the problem is? Us. We done got so caught up in the this thing today that what everybody's saying, when you come to the house, you gotta be quiet, you gotta be reverent. That's what they think. That's what it means. That's not what it means. Being reverent is not coming in and crossing your legs and folding your arms right here. And then when the preacher's reading, then you follow the preacher in the Bible. That's not being reverent. It may seem like it's being reverent to other people, because we don't want to get too loud. Because if we get too loud, we're going to bother them. Me and Brother James went to Mount Airy maybe 10 years ago now, to a camp meeting they had up there. And it was this preacher. He looked like he's probably in his 60s. And he too was telling all the people in that congregation. It was at Low Mountain Baptist Church. Brother Bill Watson's a pastor, and he's still there. But that evangelist, or that speaker that spoke that day, he said this to all the people. And it was right many people there. This was in the morning service. At 10 o'clock. And he said this.
and how true it was. He says, we Christians, the ones that's been born again, that's serving the Lord, that wants to do what God wants them to do, go out here and visit, win souls for Him, but yet then we'll come back to the house of God. And we won't say amen. We won't get up and allow a good old holy shout come out. Because we are scared that if we do, we're going to offend some people. It's going to upset some people. Well, the people needs to be upset. They need to be upset because they cannot worship the same God that I'm worshiping. Means that what? They're going to hell. I believe within my heart and my soul every day that if an individual is saved by the grace of God, anybody, I believe within the heart they can be bubbling over. And you can see it within their eyes and within their expression. But I'm going to tell you what. God ever gets a hold of me, the Holy Spirit ever gets a hold of me again, if I don't run, and if I don't run outside and run back inside this church, then I know what He's going to do to me. He's going to set me down, and He's going to give me a good old whipping because of what He's done for me. He said, I'm not going to touch you if you're going to go out here and still do what you want to do. I'm going to touch you. And when I do, you need to be mindful of where the touch come from. Don't need to be embarrassed. And I'm not. I don't embarrass nobody anymore. I'm not embarrassed. The devil's not going to embarrass me to the point that I will not shout. If I go to Walmart, if I go to the mall, Piedmont Mall, if I go down here, or if I go to the one down in Burlington, or wherever, and if I hear somebody else running out talking, and I hear somebody else say, well, you know, we had a good service last night. Says somebody got saved. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Did you realize that people will stop and listen? They will. They will stop dead in their tracks. And they will listen to where in the direction from where the voice come from. Why? Because the name Jesus was mentioned. We need to be lifting up the name of Jesus more and more. It says in His Word right here, it says the only way that an individual can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ is for us to be what? Delivering His message unto the people, and the Holy Spirit of God will draw him to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have all three of them, you ain't saved. I know that ain't good English, but you ain't saved. I know there's a whole lot of people like here say, well, I'm saved. I know Jehovah and I know Jesus. What about the Holy Spirit? Well, I haven't received the Holy Spirit yet because I ain't been saved by 6 months. And I understand you got to be at least a year before you can receive the Holy Spirit. I don't know where to get that mess from. Because it tells me that what Jesus done for me and what He's done for you, did not Jesus, when you called upon Him, He saved your soul? And when He saved you, what did He do? He didn't turn you back to the world. He didn't turn you back out here to start walking and talking and doing and trying to figure things out on your own for a year. That's basically what the people are saying. Well, you're saved, but you ain't received. You can't receive the Holy Spirit. It takes at least a year. You got to go out here and you got to live it. You got to go out here and you got to prove yourself. No, I don't have to prove nothing. Jesus Christ proved everything to me. He proved it all for me. And I'm so thankful that he did. That I did not have to prove my righteousness to him. I didn't have to reprove my sanity to him. I didn't have to reprove my speech unto him. I didn't have to say, well, Lord, you know, well, I know you saved me back in August, but you know, Lord, I'm hearing the Bible and I'm reading your word. I just don't understand it, Lord. Before the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul, when I said yes to him and I asked him to come into my heart and to change my life and I would serve him, before I said all of that and before he said he would, the Holy Spirit was already living within me. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that was speaking to my heart. And my heart was speaking to my mind. Well, we have people out here today, they got it backwards. They said, Lord's speaking to me, speaking to my mind. Well, let me get down to my heart. Need to get to the heart first. And then allow the heart to do the work on the mind. We need to have some people out here today. We need to have more Christians out here worshiping who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Not worshiping man, but we're more concerned on what the preacher thinks. We're more concerned about, I wonder, you know, if I don't, I ain't got the energy right now to go in and pick it up. I just have to leave it. But then I'll walk back and I'll turn around and, no. Because now they're going to see me walk back and the deacon may say something to me. Or one of the members might say something to me. Don't worry about members. Don't worry about the deacon. Don't worry about the pastor. You worry about God. And if you worry about God and what God says and what God wants you to do, then everything else is going to come in line. That's just like he's got to be number one in your life. He's number one. I cannot put my wife before him. I cannot put my daughter before him. He has got to be number one in my life. And even though I'm the pastor of Faith Baptist Church, he does not tell me and he does not want me to allow Faith Baptist Church to be number two in my life. My family comes second. It's what the Word of God says. That's the way God ordained the family. That's the way God ordained his work. Was he was first, then the family, then the church. But you know, you get all three of them together. You get a Christian serving the Lord. Called and said, Jehovah is number one in my life. I know, honey, I know you want me to do this, but the Lord's already spoke to me. He wants me to go down and visit somebody. I need to go down and visit them. He's got to be number one. I'll come back. When I get back, I'll come back and I'll do what you asked me to do. The Lord's number one in my life. Then my family's number two. Then as I go out, and as I visit, and as I invite people to church, I still don't need to put the church before my family. The church is number three. But you know something? If you do every one of them in that order, you ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to worry about who's going to be number one. You ain't got to worry about who's going to be number two. You ain't got to worry about what's got to be number three. Because all of it's going to fall in line together. All of it is going to fall in line together.
You know, we need to cry out. And I believe that we need to cry out and shout. Because when we do, Jehovah God is saying right here, thou inheritance of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Cried and shout, thou inheritance of Zion. What is he saying? If we just cry out to God, and when God speaks to us after we cry out to him, and then if we just say, thank you, Jesus, and we just let him know, from my heart, that he's also heard our prayers. He says, then we will inherit the things of Zion. We will inherit our inheritance. Is not just Zion. Our inheritance is not just on the hillside that we're standing on. But our inheritance is of Zion. Our inheritance, we inherit it all. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How in the world could I ever go out here and inherit that much? How could I? I couldn't go out here and inherit that much. But see, that's what all people are looking for today. My inheritance. I'm not looking for no earthly inheritance. I don't have no earthly inheritance. The only inheritance that I'm looking to is my inheritance that's set before heaven. And yes, all this out there, Lord God owns all of that. And I'm part of that. I'm heirs of that.
So you can go ahead and you can buy you a brand new Lincoln if you want to. Brand new Mercedes. All right. I'm just joining out with it. I've inherited it. God just loans these things to us until we get home. But is that $50,000 Mercedes going to take me to a home to talk to someone about the soul? No. It's not going to get me that no more faster, no faster than I'd go. The only thing it's going to do is just boost up my ego and my pride. All that's going to be boosted up. Why? Because I'm driving, and I'm riding a brand new Mercedes. It's a sport. And it's $55,000. Look at me and what I'm driving. I'd rather go and visit somebody in my car here that can't half run. I don't even know if it's going to even run if I go out there and start it now. I'd rather go out there and get in that vehicle and go to someone's house and tell them, say, well, I come here today to see you. The Lord Jesus laid you on my heart to come and see you. I'd rather do that than go out here and drive all of these fancy vehicles. I know some people can live in their homes and they can drive the big vehicles and they can take out the wallet that they have on their left hip. And they pull it out and they got a wad of money in it. And the next thing you know, here it is, they pull another wallet out on the right hip, got a wad of money in there. Then they pull something out of here and they got a wad of money there and a wad over there. But are they happy? But are they happy? I've seen some people that are so miserable. They've got everything that they want. Everything they want. And they can buy anything. They don't have to worry about going to the store and looking and seeing if this is on sale or that's on sale. They can buy it. But I'd rather be the individual that has to look at the paper. Willis, man, 20% off this week. Then I'll go back and I'll continue looking in the paper. Oh man, here they got 40% off. Praise the Lord. Always looking for a deal. I got my deal back in August of 1980. And it was free. 100% free. Didn't cost me one red cent. Not one red dime. And he pardoned me for life. Pardoned me for life. I love tonight more than I ever have. That's where I feel tonight. I really do. But I know also that when I leave here tonight, I know that something else is going to happen. And I know someone else is going to try the very best to attack me and to tear me down and to make me feel bad. And that's the devil. That's the devil. Who are they? They're the people out here that's serving him. That's who it is. They're going to say, Donnie, what was the use of you going to church tonight? Did you have anybody saved? Don't know. I don't know their hearts. Did you have any new members to come in? Did you have any new people to come in and join a church? No. Why do you keep going? Why do you keep doing these things? You know your health is bothering you, and you can't do it like you used to. Well, I'm going to tell you something, devil. I'm sorry, but I can. Hallelujah. I can do it because of what? Because of Jesus Christ. I can do it. Hallelujah. And I'm going to continue on doing it because I do not believe that God has brought me here to Faith Baptist Church, for this Faith Baptist Church, for us to stay here and stay together with just this little few of people. I know He wants us to do more, and He wants us to go out here and win more for Him. He wants that baptistry being used, and we can use that baptistry. Yes, we can have people saved. We can have people baptized. We can have people to come in and join the local church. And they can be taught the Word of God. They can live the Word of God through the people that's here. Hey, I know it seems like that I preach the same message all the time. I don't know nothing else to preach. That's all I know to preach. I'm not one of these deep preachers. I can't get in there and dig me a ditch in there and get down in the bottom of it and dig in it and bring it out. Because if I dig in it so far, I'm going to get way down there so far. I'm going to get so turned around, angled. I won't doubt my own salvation. Paul was simple. Paul was simple. Even Jesus Christ, His messages was so simple. As a child could understand it. We all become a child before we could ever understand anything. And after we do understand it, after we accept it, then we must get in there and study. And we must pray. We must talk to God. And He increases our maturity, our perfection materializes to where we can grow up. And where, yeah, Paul says, if I partake of the meat, and if it offends somebody, I need to what? Leave the meat alone. That's what I believe the Lord is speaking about, that where we need to be perfect, we need to mature in, that we can mature to the point of where, well, you know, I mean, that's all foolish. That was back in the New Testament, the Old Testament. That was way back before Christ was even born and all that. I mean, and before He even died. It was back then. It doesn't make no difference. If it offends somebody, we should not do it. We should not do it. Now, I'm not speaking about somebody getting up here preaching. I'm not speaking about somebody getting up here and preaching the gospel. I'm preaching. I'm saying about the things that we do on an individual basis. To us, it may not be sin. But to someone else it may be. Why? Because they have not matured enough. They have not grown enough in the Lord to where they can take that and handle it. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this evening. And Father, I do thank You, Lord, for Your touch upon me. And the touch to where You've touched my legs, I do thank You. And I praise Your name for that, Lord. Now, God, I ask that You will just be with the people. And Father, if there's anyone here tonight that would just want to just come up, just come to the altar and want to rededicate their life unto you. And Father, I just want to just come up and pray for someone else. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll just help them to make that decision. And Father, we just want to thank you for what you're going to do for Faith Baptist Church. We want to thank you for the upcoming Jubilee. Thank you for all the preachers that's coming. And thank you for the great, great turnout that we're going to have. Thank you for the souls that's going to be saved. Father, we just want to thank you and we want to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.